Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Local, your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining me on the show today. On the program today, I will be talking with the namesake of the Peter Jankovic Ensemble, which consists of guitar and string quartet. Rather unusual combination, at least in the way they go about it. They're going to be giving a concert tomorrow night at the Dowden Fine Arts Center on Eastern Illinois University's campus in Charleston, as well as giving a masterclass tomorrow afternoon. And we'll begin with some of their music, their arrangement of music by Astor Piazzolla. That's coming up later. Isaac Albanis on Live and Local.
Thank you.
You just heard a recording of a piece that is probably familiar to many of our listeners as a solo guitar piece. It's called Asturias by Isaac Albéniz, and it was played here by a guitarist with string quartet. They are collectively the Petr Jankovic Ensemble, and they are going to be playing tomorrow night, Thursday night at 7:30 at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center on the Eastern Illinois University campus in Charleston on their New and Emerging Artists series. Not necessarily that Mr. Jankovic is a new artist. He's been touring as a solo guitarist for quite some time and winning awards ever since he was a kid, really. He's now teaching as well at Indiana University in Bloomington, and he is my guest this portion of Live and Local. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
So before we actually talk about the ensemble and how it came to be and how you came to this decision to put it together, give us a little bit of background on yourself. You're from Belgrade, Serbia.
That's correct. I finished my former music education in Serbia, and in 1994, or that is actually 1996, I came to the United States and finished some graduate work at Jacobs School of Music. And from then on, my career picked up. I started playing a lot of concerts. And also, I got a teaching position at Jacobs School of Music. And it's been like that since then. So I've been here in the United States for, that brings us to 17 years, really.
And just to clarify for our listeners, the Jacobs School of Music is at Indiana University.
It is, exactly. That's that famous school of music. One of the, it is the best. I am one of the best, certainly, but it is the biggest school of music in the world, I believe.
Yeah, I've heard it's just humongous.
Yeah.
As a school of music. I was on the campus once, but I didn't actually spend any time at the music school, I don't believe.
Right, it's really big.
And it's a beautiful campus, which surprised me because it's in sort of a nondescript town.
That's true. It's really nice. I mean, that's one of the things why I decided really to stay here, because not only one of the best schools in the world, but also it's very beautiful place. Bloomington is really particularly beautiful in fall and spring, but also summer and winter are nice. Very nice campus, very nice little town, and I really enjoy being here. But it's at the same time, it's really very vibrant. We have here over 1,000 classical music concerts a year, which is really hard to imagine thinking of a Midwest little town, small town. You would expect that in New York or L.A., but we do have a lot of musical events here the entire year.
And how did it happen that you ended up teaching at the school where you studied?
I guess the reason they looked at my accomplishments and they wanted me to open that teaching position. Actually, there is a chair of the department, Ernesto Bittetti, and he's still chair. And then the opportunity came. They needed another guitar professor there at the time when I was ready to start teaching, so that was the case. That's how I ended up teaching here.
How many guitar professors are there?
Two of us.
Which is two more than we have at the University of Illinois. There's no guitar program here at all, which is sort of too bad. And what made you decide to devote yourself to teaching in the midst of performing?
I have been teaching really since I was 15, believe it or not. A small community college next to my school, where I was going to a music school at that time. I was 15. They needed a teacher, guitar instructor for very beginning adult students. And by that time, since I started really a formal musical guitar education, classical guitar education at age of 7, by the age of 15, I had 8 years of the formal training, and by that time I already won a lot of prizes. And so teaching beginner students was not a difficult task, and they needed someone, so I started them. And then since then I've been teaching all along to present days, really never stopped teaching a long performing career. And I believe that those two really feed one another. I mean, I don't think that I would be able to be a teacher only or performer only. It's really the balance of the two that makes it a fulfilling experience. In one sense, teaching profession really helps me play better, simply because I also not only teach, but I learn from my students. I mean, just by having to explain things orally and in a very, very detailed and analytical way makes you think when you play it the same way. So it really helps you to dig deeper into the piece of music, because you will have to explain it later, but also it helps you understand it better. So that's how teaching helps my playing, but also my playing obviously helps teaching, because I can share all this tremendous experience from the stage with my students, and that's easier to understand how playing helps teaching, but also teaching helps playing.
Well, and of course, we're here to talk particularly about the ensemble that you formed, the Peter Yankovic Ensemble, which is you plus four lovely women, as it turns out, string quartet. And the piece that with which we opened this conversation, as I said then, was a piece that is commonly played on solo guitar. What gave you the idea to create an ensemble like this, and then to take at least some pieces that are for solo guitar and modify them in this way?
Right. Well, that's a very good question. You see, guitar, in my view, as far as chamber music comes, most of the time has an accompanying role. It's not really a leading instrument. And I, being a soloist pretty much all my life, I had this desire to do chamber music too, but the role that was given in a chamber format was always, I felt, not fulfilling. So I thought that I would come up with a good instrument combination, but write arrangements in a way that guitar will be featured as a leading instrument. And I think I managed to do that with this project. So I formed the ensemble. I did a lot of arranging for the group. And I started with what you can call war horses of guitar repertoire, and actually wanted to try with those. Well, the result was that all this music, being beautiful as it is, became so much more amplified in a sense, and sounded even better when you add strings to it. So I think it augmented the whole experience. I was very happy with the first result, and I said, well, this is definitely worth pursuing more, and I think people will love to hear this and will enjoy this kind of new format. And then I went and wrote a whole program, I mean, arranged the whole program, got the group together, we recorded a CD, we started touring, and soon enough, we started having very, very good reviews all over, and we played in Europe, in the United States, and it's been a very fulfilling experience so far. So tomorrow we'll be playing in Charleston.
And giving a master class as well, which if we have time we'll talk about a little bit more, although I imagine that's primarily for the students there. Of course, the Albanese that we started with is one of those war horses, a piece that I wouldn't call a war horse, but I don't know it, so I don't know if it was originally for solo guitar, if it was for some other instruments. It's by the Brazilian composer Paulo Bellinacci, Django?
Django, yes. That's a wonderful piece. And actually, that was the piece that I first arranged. That piece he wrote for solo guitar, then he himself arranged it for two guitars. And I first time heard it in two guitars a combination. I heard that. Well, I remember that evening listening. That's when I got the idea. And I heard that piece. I said, wow, wouldn't it be nice that I keep the first guitar the way it is and arrange the second guitar for the string quartet? And then I called up Elliot Bark, a composer here at IU, and asked him, what do you think? Can we make this happen? And then he and I started working on it. And that was the very first piece that we got arranged. And then we played. I mean, it's a fairly known piece among guitar crowds, especially in Brazil. Paulo is Brazilian, and it's very much Brazilian-style music.
Let's give a listen. It's called Django by Paulo Bellinacci, born in 1950 from Brazil. It's the Peter Yankovic Ensemble, Mr. Yankovic on guitar, and the string quartet, Sophie Bird, Minju Kim, Rose Wallman, and Kira Saltman, here on Live and Local. It's music by Paolo Bellinacci called Django, and played by the Peter Jankovic Ensemble, with Peter Jankovic on guitar, and then the string quartet, the two violinists, at least who are in the current quartet, Sophie Bird, Minju Kim, the violist is Rose Wallman, and the cellist is Kira Saltman, and they'll all be playing at the Delta Fine Arts Center in Charleston tomorrow night for a concert at 7:30. And as we were listening, I actually asked Mr. Jankovic if those were in fact the performers on the recording we heard, because there has been some shift in performers. So what's the history of the group? It's only been around, what, 4+ years, something like that?
Something like that, yes. And that's another interesting aspect of the group. I decided when I formed the group, well, of course, you always start thinking who your playmates are going to be, right? And living in a city that has such a great fluctuation of musicians going in and out, it's a huge school. There are a lot of great players, a lot of great teachers, but they move. I mean, they don't stay a lot of times. So I decided to really work season by season, and then I would hire musicians. We would prepare the whole program and go on tour, and then next season I may have different musicians working for me. So it's really an ensemble that whose members may change from season to season, may not. For example, I've Sophie Bird and Rose Wallman have been with me since the beginning, and then Minju Kim and Kira Saltman are new members. And then we will see next year who is leaving, who is staying. A lot of time I would work with international performers, so they would be people from all over the world, and then they go somewhere else. So it's really a format that I had to work with would be of this nature. I wouldn't stay with the same group for a long time, but rather change, hire musicians on a concert-to-concert tour basis.
So
it really works good for now, for different reasons. I mean, this chamber group is a little different. It's not what you would see in a typical string quartet. I mean, that the format for that is just the opposite. They want to stay together for so long time, so they know how each one breathes and reacts, and that's how they create this string quartet compact sound. Well, this is a little more than a string quartet, really. It's five people, but also guitar accounts for three instruments, really, because so many strings. So it sounds more than it is. And then also in the future, I may add musicians, so it's not going to be a quintet. It may be sextet or septet. In that case, it will be. It is actually a chamber group that may have a different format for different seasons, depending on the program.
So it's a concept that's presently in flux, just in personnel, and maybe evolving as time goes into something else yet again.
Exactly. Because already, even now, I mean, we play in a different, not for the concert tomorrow, we are going to play, I think everything will be a whole group, and then I will just play a single solo piece for guitar. But sometimes we do duets. I mean, I would play with violin or viola or with cello, so we would do, then I would let quartet play sometimes on their own. So it really, we can cover a lot of repertoire this way. It's a group that can, I mean, the formation can cover a lot of different styles and different program, and I like that about it.
Well, and of course, there is a lot of repertoire, for example, for violin and guitar.
Yes.
That I think, I imagine you could mess with as well. Well, here's a piece that exists in many different forms, and some of them in arrangements by the composer himself, some by other people, and that's Astor Piazzolla from Argentina. A wonderful tune called Oblivion. What did you start with in this case in making the arrangement?
I looked at the orchestral score, and then I had to reduce it to a string quartet, and then I took a lead melody and assigned that to guitar. And also for the first part of the piece, the second part, I left that to quartets to actually drive that melody. And then also I added some accompanying elements to the guitar when they play that main melody to it. So that piece was actually created from a bigger score to a smaller. score.
Well, let's give a listen. It's a piece that I've always loved hearing, Oblivion by Astor Piazzolla, the Peter Jankovic Ensemble, here on Live and Local. Music's called Oblivion by Astor Piazzolla. The ensemble is the Peter Jankovic Ensemble. He's the guitarist, along with string quartet members Sophie Bird, Minju Kim, Rose Molman, and Kira Saltman. They're the ones going to be playing at the Krannert, the Doudna Fine Arts Center at Eastern Illinois University Charleston tomorrow night. and giving a master class as well for the students there in the afternoon. I wanted to ask, as you're talking about the roles of the guitar versus the string quartet, guitar when usually in chamber music, as you said earlier on, usually an accompanying role. In string quartet, particularly in later music, it's often true that the solo voice passes around among the various instruments. Do you make some effort to do that in your arrangements of these pieces? And of course, we've heard different examples so far, primarily with the guitar out front.
Yes. The Oblivion, for example, has more leading in the strings than guitar, and Asturias would be the piece that guitar is almost all the time leading instrument. But no, in Django, a lot of time melody shifts from one to the other instrument. They share the melody. It goes exactly what you just described. So it's not really all the time. I mean, maybe guitar can. If I put in percentages, I think maybe 55%. Would be guitar-led, really, and then 45 or 50-50 would be actually quartet. And then when it comes to quartet, then it goes from one to the other person. And that's actually how it's written, too, because there was another challenge with the writing arrangements. If you really write for quartet the way you would normally write for quartet, they would eat up the guitar completely with the sound. They are so much more powerful. So the texture of the music had to be so less dense, in other words, to allow guitar to speak through. So the way I solved that challenge was in two ways. One is by writing arrangements that would allow guitar to speak. So there is a lot of dialogue versus playing at the same time. And then when there is something playing at the same time, it's really the structure, the density of the score is reduced so that the guitar can speak up. Then another way I solved it, I had to do that, is technical. So I have a very high level equipment that I carry. It is a PA system, but it's very specific to what I really need. I mean, it's not just a guitar amp. It's so much more than that. And then I dial into certain frequencies there of the instrument and boost them a little bit so that guitar, even with the color, speaks and cuts through the texture of strings. So it's really a combination of good arranging on the paper and then very good set of equipment that can support this type of ensemble. You're right. And that was always even when I had first thoughts about this, that was one of the things I said, how will I resolve that? But with a lot of research, with a lot of trial and error, I came up to this combination that really works.
Well, you actually had anticipated this question because I was about to ask you, just as you brought it up, how you dealt with balance, because I know certainly if somebody is playing a guitar concerto, for example, there's often some amplification that needs to happen because of that. But then, you know, you don't want to have it sound like your average guitar through an amplifier, you know, which would just change the whole color and character of the sound.
Absolutely.
When you're making the arrangements, you gave some indication earlier that sometimes you must work with other people to create these arrangements, whether they're composers or...
Yes, and this is my philosophy in business, always has been to actually always involve as many people as I can, the one that I trust and one I think for, not only for this, for anything else. I really like inputs, and I really like people that can challenge my ideas and that can argue because I think that's the essentially that's how we get a better product. So here too, I could have sat down and arranged all by myself. With some pieces I did that, but for a different reason. But with a lot of music, I wanted a composer. I wanted someone who is composing for the strings, right? I didn't want to hire an arranger. I wanted a composer. And I have a friend, Elliot Bark, very talented composer, contemporary classical composer. And I said, Elliot, let's look at this and just imagine if you would have to write, but you have something to go off of. So let's try to make this into more than it is. So write this part for string quartet. And I told him I want this line to be dealt this way and this line, this one, this one. So he would come up with a kind of pro-composed arrangement, something that he would sit down and listen and see how really this be accomplishable on string instruments. So because a lot of music for any instrument is idiomatic for that instrument, right? So you have to come up with what technique or what way of interpretation would work on a different instrument to express the same idea that was written originally, right? Not just the notes. You give the notes, and then you ask different instrument to play the notes. Well, pitches would be right, but the expression would be completely off. So we worked like that. I mean, I worked with him, and we came to arranging a lot of music together. And a lot of that he arranged himself, and there are also some pieces that I arranged on my own. Once when we learn and figure how that works, then it's much easier. You can then apply the same principles and do it on your own.
And of course, folks have had a chance to hear some samples, and we have one more to go. And if the concert is tomorrow night, 7:30, with the Peter Yankovich Ensemble at the Downey Fine Arts Center at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. It's part of their New and Emerging Artists series. And Peter Yankovich with a string quartet of young women from, are they all based at Indiana University currently?
No, they're not. I mean, two are in, well, they're not. I mean, two are in Bloomington. Viola is from Evansville. That is Indiana on the border with the Kentucky. And then Chelsea is from Chicago.
Okay, so they come from various places. The last piece we're going to do is definitely a war horse for orchestra, which comes from Manuel de Falla's La Vida Breve, The Short Life. And I'm forgetting offhand if that's an opera or a ballet. Do you remember which one of those?
La Vida Breve is it's a ballet.
It's a ballet, and this is the either dance number one or is well no I'm sorry that's a different piece. I'm getting the pieces mixed up. So La Vida Breve is a ballet, but you also and you're doing a piece from that, but you're also doing from a short opera which is called El Amor Brujo, Love the Magician.
Yes.
The famous Ritual Fire Dance.
Exactly.
Now, how did you break down this inherently colorful orchestral piece for a set of, you know, one plucked string instrument and four bowed string instruments?
Well, that was easier than you may think. And the reason for that is that De Falla wrote his music heavily influenced by flamenco music. I mean, everything that he wrote for orchestra, all the operas, ballets, that's all flamenco in a classical format. So the things that inspire him is a flamenco guitar sound. So it was very natural to turn it back and go back to the source that inspired him to write that kind of music. So go back to guitar and incorporate guitar into what he wrote. And his music feels so idiomatic on guitar. You cannot believe how easy and natural and nice it feels on the guitar. And you can definitely tell that he was thinking about guitar a lot of times. And even some orchestral, what he wrote for the orchestra, for the cello, for example, in that particular piece, it's really he's trying to mimic the rasgados on guitar. And which is very interesting, you know, how he wrote that to produce that rasgado-like sound of guitar, and so that it wasn't hard, really. It was those two pieces were really very, very enjoying to arrange because they fell right into the place without much working on them.
Well, let's hear the results with the Peter Yankovich Ensemble. And Peter Yankovich, my guest on Live and Local today. Thanks very much for joining us, and safe travels coming to Charleston tomorrow, and good luck with the masterclass and the concert.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It was great to be on the show.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you. That's an arrangement by the performers and colleagues of the Ritual Fire Dance from El Amor Brujo, Love the Magician by Manuel de Falla. We heard it played by the Petar Jankovic Ensemble, and they will be playing that piece as well as a great many others on tomorrow night's concert at 8 o'clock at the Dowden Fine Arts Center at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled America's Musical Past, Shenanigans, Hootenannies, and Other Twisted Adventures. More information is available at sousaarchives.org.
On the next Fresh Air, Dustin Hoffman. He makes his directorial debut with the new film Quartet. When he received his Kennedy Center honor, he was praised for breaking the mold of the movie star as handsome leading man. But when Hoffman starred in The Graduate, people said to director Mike Nichols,
"What a great film you would have had if you had not miscast the lead."
Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and at 7 p.m. on AM 580.
Another concert that will be happening in our area tomorrow night at 8 o'clock will be at Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington, presentation of the Illinois Chamber Music Festival. And it will feature the kind of unusual combination of oboe, viola, and piano for a number of pieces. There's also a couple pieces for piano and viola alone. And I will be talking with two of the performers involved, including pianist R. Kent Cook, who's on faculty at Illinois Wesleyan, and also on faculty at Illinois Wesleyan is poet Michael Tooney. He is going to be reading some poems that influenced the pieces that are on the program. And so we'll have conversations with both of them on tomorrow's Live and Local. I happen to pull out of our CD files a recording that has a not quite as unusual combination of instruments, but nonetheless a trio form involving oboe and piano. Instead of viola, there's the bassoon involved. And this is a recording that I guess is about 17, 18 years old, featuring an oboist who is now on faculty at the University of Illinois, John Dee, and also bassoonist Luciano Magnanini and pianist Carlo Grante. Here's the opening movement to the trio for those three instruments by Francis Poulenc. It starts in a sort of ponderous way, but things change after about a minute or so, quite significantly.
Thank you.
opening movement from the trio for oboe, bassoon, and piano by Francis Poulenc, performed by oboist John Dee, bassoonist Luciano Magnanini, and pianist Carlo Grante here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And here's another sort of trio. Well, it is a trio, but another form of trio, also involving piano, but this time also having cello. And I frankly am not sure which he's playing here, either violin or six-string viola. And this is the group that calls itself Three-Part Invention. The pianist, Philip Auberg. At the time, the cellist was Eugene Friesen, and he's in this recording. It's now Mike Block, and the violinist is Tracy Silverman. This particular CD takes works by Johann Sebastian Bach and twists them around a little bit, gives them new titles as well. This one they call Wheel Works. It's based on the prelude number 5 from the first book of Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier, Three-Part Invention. Thank you. That's an adaptation of Johann Sebastian Bach's fifth prelude from his first book of well-tempered clavier, Preludes and Fugues. They called it Wheelworks. They are three-part invention. Pianist Philip Auberg, cellist Eugene Friesen, and violinist Tracy Silverman, who have been on this radio show, not performing live, actually talked with Tracy on the program, and the man who is now the cellist in the group, who I'm stumbling on, once again, Mike Block. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And here are some other events besides that which those I mentioned earlier on the program that you can go see and hear live in our listening area. Tonight, anyway, Jammin' Jimmy Bean and Friends, an acoustic experience, are going to be this evening at 6 o'clock at Bentley's Pub in Champaign. Pianist Gordy Wilson is at Boltini Lounge, also in downtown Champaign. That starts at 6 as well. And in Champaign at the High Dive, the Tractor Kings and the Felice Brothers. Not sure I said their name right. Sorry if I didn't. That's at 8 o'clock tonight. David Howie's live jukebox show is at El Toro in Champaign this evening at 6:30. And it's Eric Lund's Jazz Friends Quintet at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock. The Prairie Grapevine Folklore Society concert will be at the Abraham Lincoln Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Springfield tonight at 7:30. Lots of other things going on. We'll mention more on tomorrow's Live and Local, which again starts at 4 o'clock. I'm Kevin Kelly. Appreciate your joining me this afternoon. WILL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And we are 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois.